Here we go. Luke chapter number 8, verse number 40. This passage is found tonight, and we'll be in Matthew 20 and Mark 5. I'll give you some verses there. You won't have to turn there, but we'll be able to stay here tonight in Luke chapter 8. Lord, open me up there morning, Tuesday morning, very early, and Miss Rhonda was trying to sleep, and I said, I got to get up. I got up and begin to study. And Lord, give me something I never saw before in this passage. And I shared it with a preacher friend of mine today, and he said, you know what, I believe it's right. Same thing. But I want to give it to you now. If you will, let's all stand. Verse number 40, Luke chapter number 8, verse number 40. Very, very familiar scripture. Very familiar scripture. The Bible says, it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Behold, there came a man named Jairus, as he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had only one... where he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age. She lay a dying, but as he went, the people thronged him. The woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." When the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." While yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master." When Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to her to give her meat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them they should tell no man what was done. I want to preach tonight on this thought on issues that interrupt life. Issues that interrupt life. And there's not a person here, I think of Miss Freeman. She says daughter's daughter. I don't know what you call that. Amen. But anyway, she says she's got issues, got tissues for her issues. Amen. And but you know, a lot of people have issues, Brother Todd. In fact, we all have issues at some point in life. But I want to preach on this thought on issues that interrupt life. And I'll tell you where I'm coming from. It's a little bit different angle. I've preached on this passage several times. In fact, one of the first messages I ever preached this church, Brother Tony, I preached on Make Room for the Master. And that's been now 15 years ago out of this passage of Scripture. Amazing how you remember things. Amen. But I want to preach on this tonight, issues that interrupt life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. And Brother Elijah, can you lead some prayer? And please pray for me tonight. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. I appreciate your time tonight. I appreciate you being willing to come out and be at the house of God tonight. I want to give you five thoughts tonight on this thing. I don't usually tell you how many points, but I've got five main points tonight. I want to preach on these five thoughts tonight in this passage. We'll stay right here, here within the gospel message, but here within Luke. The first thing we do is we get an introduction, and the introduction is very meaningful. The Bible says in verse number 40, "And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him." I wonder, Brother Tony, many times when the Lord comes back, if we'll be waiting for him. Amen. Now, the Bible says they were all waiting for him, so the reception was pretty good. Amen. And he was returning. The Bible says when Jesus was returned, and where had he been? Well, if you read previous verses, he'll tell you that he was in the country of the Gadarenes. And, of course, in the country of Gadarenes is where he come across the wild man out of the tombs, the one possessed with demons. He cast those demons. The one had been sitting there at the feet of Jesus then. And so now he's returning back home to his own city in Capernaum. I'll give you that in just a little bit about how that we can say that. So when anyway, he's returning back home. And the Bible says the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And so he's returning back from the Gadarenes. And the reaction is everybody's glad to see him. Now, not everywhere Jesus went did they have that kind of reaction, but on this particular time and at this time, they were excited and waiting for him. Now, Brother Freeman, they're most likely waiting and exciting because they'd seen some of the miracles he'd done. He'd been healing people. Now people, they'd gotten word out that he could do miracles and heal people, and so people get all excited about miracles, don't they? Amen. A lot of times they miss the message, but they get excited about the miracles. And so that's what they were doing. Now, it's real, this introduction is real meaningful because in Luke chapter number 8, if you look at it with me, just look back at verse number 37. When he had cast those demons out, and the man sitting there, now he's clothed in verse number 35 in his right mind, and they were afraid of him. It's funny, they're not afraid of him while the man's crazy living in the tombs, but they're afraid of him when he's calm and sitting at the feet of Jesus. You know what amazes me is people don't think that people going out and taking drugs is bad, or drinking's bad, or partying's bad, or running around's bad, or cheating on their wives. Nobody gets a big shock about that. You can look like the devil every day, and everybody doesn't get shocked about that. You can live in the tombs, you can cut yourself, you can scream every night, you can act like a manchi every night and go crazy every night. But when you get saved and start living godly and start sitting at the feet of Jesus, all of a sudden that gets everybody worried. We got a messed up world. Amen. We got a messed up world. Say amen right there. That won't cost you anything. That's free. Now notice what it says in verse 38. Excuse me, verse 37. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up in the ship and returned back again. And so, Brother Freeman, it's a very meaningful introduction, is that here he has some people that want to see him after he left a city or left a country that asked him to leave. Amen. So now he's coming back home. He's coming back to his home city, if you will, Capernaum there. And so they're welcoming him. At least they may not have it all right, but they're glad to see it. Amen. So the introduction is meaningful. It's not just by words. Something can happen. He left one place, and somebody was glad to see him. Now I want to get into the message a little bit more tonight. Look at verse number 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet. Now we have an intercession here, and this intercession is asking for mercy. We have a prayer, if you will. We see the recognition. The Bible says his name was Jairus. That word name Jairus means a kindling or to set on fire and shine. And so here's a man with the name of, if you will, of a spark. Amen. He's a spark. He's a kindling. He's something that starts a fire. Amen. And I think of Jeremiah about that. Had a fire in his bones. And so we see his name is Jairus. We see his fame. He was a ruler of the synagogue. He had some power, Brother Freeman. He had some authority around town. And thirdly, we see his shame. The Bible says that he fell down at Jesus' feet. Now here's a man with authority, and here's a man with a good name, but he still had enough shame in himself, he had enough humility in himself, to know that he needed to recognize the Lord Jesus Christ. So we get to know about him, and now he falls down at Jesus' feet. Now notice the request. The Bible says that he besought him. And that word besought means to call somebody near. He's telling the Lord, Lord, I want you as near as you can be to me. I want you near me. And the second thing we find about him, he said he besought him that he would come into his house. Not unto his house, into his house. Now, so he's really being very open to the Lord. Amen. He's fell down at his feet, and the request is, I want you to come near, and I want you to come in. Amen. Isn't that a great picture of salvation? Lord, I want you to come near, and I want you to come in. What a great picture of salvation this is. And so he needs something here. And so the request is that he come near and come in. Now look at verse number 42. For he had one only daughter. Here's the requirement. Here's why he got that point. He has a requirement because he has something that he cherishes. He has one only daughter. That's very significant the way the Bible put that. One only daughter. She is cherished. About 12 years of age, she was a child. And she laid dying. There's the criticalness. There's some criticalness. Here's this child whom he cherishes, and she is critical. She lays dying. She's on her deathbed. She's not dead yet, but she lays dying. You say, oh, I know all this. Stay with me. But as he went, the people thronged him. Now, that word throng is made up of two words. The first word is sum, and the second word is nego. And the first word means close union, and the second part of the word means to wheeze or to strangle. What this meaning of this word throng is, literally means that they were so close to Jesus, they were almost to the point of smothering him. Okay? We're not talking about just a lot of crowd around. They were pushing and pressing upon him. And I can imagine the disciples trying to hold back the crowd. And yet there's so many that want to be near him, hoping that he will do some miracle in their life to change their life. And they are pressing and squeezing and pushing, literally getting to the point of smothering the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Because they wanted something of him. Are you listening? So the second thing we see is the intercession. We see the introduction is meaningful. A lot of folks want to see him. We see the intercession. He's searching for mercy. But there's a lot of people pressing on him. Amen. A lot of they are thronging him. Now look at verse number 43. This is absolutely not what was supposed to happen right here. This is something that sidetracked what the Lord was getting ready to do. And it's very unusual. And I've studied this and you've read it and we know it. But I woke up the other morning and I thought about this thing, about this woman. She was not invited to be there. There's things about her. Look at verse 43. The Bible says, and a woman. Notice back in verse number 41. And behold, there came a man. Now in verse number 41, the word behold is used. And it means to look, or it means to see, or it means to pay attention. But when the woman comes on the scene, Brother Ty, the Bible says, and a woman. In other words, she drew no attention. She was not part of what was going on at that time. She drew no attention. She just was a woman that showed up. Now stay with me. And the Bible says, having an issue of blood, 12 years. And we read that and we say, yeah, she had a problem. No, she had an issue. The Bible says she had an issue of blood. Now take your Bible, keep your marker there, and turn over to the book of Leviticus. Because this issue that she had really is more than probably we think about. Leviticus chapter number 15, if you will, turn over there. She was in Capernaum, she would have been a Jew. No reason not to think she was not a Jew. And she came, and she drew no attention, but I believe that she was an abomination. She was against what God had set up to be right and holy. Let me show you what I mean by that. In Leviticus chapter 15, verse number 19, just turn and read with me. The Bible says, and if a woman have an issue, isn't that amazing? And if a woman have issue, and her issue in her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days, and whosoever touches her shall be unclean until evening. And everything she lieth upon in her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she sitteth upon shall be unclean. And whosoever toucheth her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And whosoever toucheth anything that she set upon shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the evening. And if it be on her bed or on anything whereon she sitteth, when he toucheth it, he shall be unclean until the evening. And if a man lie with her at all, and her flowers be upon him, he shall be unclean 7 days, and all the bed whereon he lieth shall be unclean. And if a woman have an issue of blood many days, out of the time of her separation, it says out of the normal time that a woman would be separated with the issue. There was a normal monthly time that she'd be separated and she had to stay clean out for 7 days and then she'd be pronounced more. But the Bible says, and if a woman have an issue of blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation, and she shall be unclean. Now, according to that, Brother Freeman, this woman had had an issue of blood for 12 years. Am I right? Isn't that what the Bible said? She'd have one for 12 years. If that's the case, and it was, then this woman is pronounced under law unclean for 12 years. And everything she touched become unclean. And the Bible said there was a throng about Jesus. And in order to get to Jesus, which she's going to do in a few minutes, everything she touches is going to be unclean. Everywhere she sits is unclean. Everywhere she's laid is unclean. I'm telling you right now, she was an abomination in Israel. Everything she come in contact with, Levitical law says she is unclean. It was unfit. And that means, Brother Ty, that not only was it hurting the home. Listen, do you realize her husband couldn't come near her? Because if he did, he'd be unclean. Do you realize that the priest couldn't come near her because her issue of blood wasn't cleaned up? And so she is unclean. Therefore, she was not welcome in the home. She was not welcome in the community. She is not welcome in the temple. What I'm saying is, she is unclean and therefore an abomination to the whole countryside. You get that? Now, do you got a picture how bad it was? It's not just that she had a problem. She had an issue. And this issue affected everything and everybody around her. You got it? And so she was an abomination, wasn't she? The Bible said, no man liveth to himself, no man died to himself. What she had affected everybody. She affected her family. She affected her fellowship. It affected her faith. Are you with me? The Bible says, having an issue of blood 12 years. Now we see she drew no attention. She was an abomination. And she had no relief from her affliction. The Bible says, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. So she spent all her money. And in the book of Mark, chapter number 5, verse 26, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but Mark adds this, but rather grew worse. And so not only did she have an issue, but her issue was getting worse. What am I saying tonight? I'm saying her infection was malignant. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. Do we got the picture? Everybody got the picture? Everything she touched was unclean. Everything she spent was gone. Everything she hoped for hadn't worked out. Everything that she did just got worse and worse and worse. I'm going to ask you this. You ever got any issues? You ever got any issues? You ever have things just seem to be getting worse and worse and worse? You know what you can call that? You can call that an issue. If things are not getting better, but they're getting worse, you got issues. Can you agree with me there? You got issues. And so we see the infection. And we see the man had intercession, but she didn't come to Jesus and talk to him. She's just going to come up behind him. Look at verse 44. Stay with me because we're getting ready to open up something here. Look at verse 44. We see the intervention. And it is a magnificent intervention. Amen. There's no question about it. Look at verse 44. Bible says, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. Now, I might have to go to the other scriptures for this, other passages, but I won't give them to you. In the book of Mark, chapter number 5, verse 27, about the same passage. It says, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now we read that and you say, well, what's the difference? Well, Mark tells us that when she heard of Jesus, she came behind him. Now, according to Matthew chapter number 9, verse 1, the Bible says he came into his own city. And his own city was Capernaum. Now I want you to think about this. Jesus is at least 30 years old. Okay? Maybe 31. 30 years old. You say, okay. Well, let me ask you this. When Jesus born, was it a big deal? Come on. Was it a big deal? Did things happen around Jesus? Let's just be honest about it. Did things happen around Jesus? Yeah! The angel showed up, amen. The shepherd showed up. I mean, about 2 years later, the wise men showed up. I mean, Herod got in a dither. I mean, he killed a bunch of young ones trying to get rid of him. I mean, wherever Jesus was, things happened. Business picked up, didn't it? Now, what you think about it? When he was born, things got kind of exciting. When he was 12 years old, they took him there. He went in the temple, sat around and started asking all those philosophers and all those Pharisees and Sadducees and doctors there. And he started asking and answering their questions. I want to ask you this. Was it a big deal when he went into the temple? Yeah, he drew attention, didn't he? Now think about that. How in the world had she been in the same town that he lived in and finally just now heard about it? Do you think that maybe her issues had kept her away from the temple? You think maybe her issues had kept her away from the people? Do you think there are issues that helped made it where she couldn't get near the miracles? Yeah, and what had happened is their issue had made her dull and made her where she didn't know to us, looking at this, the obvious thing. And the very obvious thing is everywhere Jesus was, something was going on. But she finally hears about it. Isn't that good? She finally hears about it. But her issue had made her dull. In Mark chapter number 5, chapter 5 verse 28, she makes a decision. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now she made a decision. She said, if I can just touch. Now she said to herself, I've heard Brother Donald, he say, I said to self, and self said, what? I mean, he'd have a conversation with himself. Well, that's what she's doing. She had a conversation, Brother Tower, with herself, and she said, man, if I can just touch his garment, if I may just touch his clothes, according to Mark, if I can just touch his clothes, I'll be made whole. So she made a decision. And the Bible then says in Matthew chapter number 9, verse 20, the Bible says she became behind him and touched the hem of his garment. In Mark chapter number 5, verse 27, it says, came in the press behind and touched his garment. In Luke chapter 8, verse 44, the Bible says, came behind and touched the border of his garment. And somebody's starting to get the picture here. Where did Jairus come to? Came to his face. Where did she come to? She came to his back. You know what issues will do? Make you deceptive. Issues will make you sneaky. Say amen right there. Issues make us sneaky. Stay with me. So we see her deception. She's going to sneak up on Jesus. Good luck with that. I'm going to sneak up on God. Amen. You ever try to sneak up on God? It don't work. The Bible says in Luke chapter 8, verse 47, look at what it says. I'm going to come back to verse 45. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, I said she was sneaky, wasn't she? Her plan was, she said, I believe him. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go up and touch the hem of his garment, and then I'm just going to take the blessing and go away. That's sneaky. See, that ain't the way God works. There's a lot of folks who want microwave religion, but it don't work. Amen. Look at verse 45. And Jesus said, who touched me? What's the next words? when all, what? Denied. How many denied? All denied. All denied. If all denied, did she deny? She sure did. And the Bible says that it staunched her blood. Her blood had stopped. That problem had stopped at that moment. And she said, he said, who touched me? She said, not me. I didn't get a blessing. Wasn't me. Wasn't me that got healed. Wasn't me that got helped. Wasn't me. All denied. Wasn't me. Well, Peter, you know, he's kind of like us Baptists. Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee and sayest thou, who touched me? How can you ask that question? Everybody's touching you. Oh, no, not everybody's touching. Everybody's pressing him, but not everybody's touching him. The Bible says, verse 46, Jesus said, somebody had touched me, for I perceived that virtue is gone out of me. Now, it didn't mean that he had any less virtue than he had before. It just meant goodness had gone out of him. When she touched him, goodness went to her. Virtue went to her. And when the woman saw that she was not healed, he knows that I got blessed. He knows that I got healed. And when the woman saw that she was not healed, she came trembling and falling down. How? Before him. Now, how did she touch him? Behind him. But now, she's getting things right, ain't she? And she's falling down before him. Now, look here. If she started out that way, it solved a lot of problems. Y'all see what I hear what I'm saying? If we'd bring our issues before him instead of going behind him, it'd be a lot quicker and a lot easier. Y'all ain't got it yet. Some of y'all still ain't got it. You understand what I'm saying? Don't try to sneak up on God. It won't work. So she comes before him. Falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. So we see her declaration. So we saw her dullness, her decision, her deception, her denial, her declaration. I come to you because I had an issue. I tried everything else. That's the sad part. I tried everything else. But I decided to try you. And I snuck up behind you. And I believe that if I could just touch the hem of your garment, I believe you as God. I believe you could just heal me. And you did it. And I tried to get away and say you didn't, but I can't help myself. Because I know you know what you did for me. And I want everybody else to know. Look at verse 48. And he said to her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Now we see her difference. In verse 48, he calls her a daughter. There's a different reverence. When she's first introduced to us, she's called a woman. But now he calls her a daughter. That daughter has two meanings, practically and positionally. Practically, he called her daughter. And that word daughter means as a young child. In other words, all those years she had lost having issues, he restored. Praise God, I need to get out and run around church. You know what God will do with your issues? Not only will he take them away from you, he'll restore the years that you lost. You say, I don't believe that. And wasn't there a man with leprosy in the Old Testament? By the name of Naaman. The Bible said after he dipped seven times in that Jordan River, said he come up and his flesh is as a newborn babe. As a babe's flesh. What did he do? He restored. He didn't just make him back a man again. He gave him flesh like a baby. Restored all that the issues had taken away. Amen? Are you ready? So practically, a daughter, her child, her youth was restored. And positionally, that word daughter is what would be called in the Hebraic descendant. In other words, she was a daughter of Israel. She was now not an outcast, but she was an incast. Amen. She was part of the family. And so both practically and positionally, there was a difference in her reference. Also, there was a difference in her rest. Notice what it says. Be a good comfort. Now, when we read that, we think, well, what that means is what you need, how you rest, is you just go lay down on the side. That's not what that word means. That word good comfort means to have bold courage. What he's telling her is this: you don't have to sneak up behind me no more. When you get rid of your issues, you don't have to be sneaky no more. You don't have to be shy no more. You ain't got to tiptoe in the church. You ain't got to get your little blessing, get out. But you are now, you can have boldness. And you can go up to God right there and look face to face and talk to God. Isn't that what he says in the book of Hebrews? That we may come boldly before the throne of grace and find help. Isn't that what he says? Boldness. And that good comfort has the meaning of, you don't have to sneak up from behind. You can come and behold me in face to face and speak to me. And so we see her with a different kind of rest. We see her with a different kind of reliance. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Amen. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And then we see a different kind of road she's going to go on. He says, go in peace. Amen. Go in peace. Amen. So she's going to leave out of there restful and in peace and not at odds. And she ain't got to worry about what she touches no more. Are you listening? She don't have to go worry about where she touches no more. She don't have to worry about where she lays no more. She ain't got to worry about hugging her husband no more. She don't have to worry about going to the house of God no more. She's acceptable. She's been made acceptable. Her road is different. She's going to leave in peace. Are you listening? She's going to leave in peace. She's going to leave different than she came. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? And when we read this passage, we say, man, that's good. But I want to preach to you tonight on this thought. That's 99% of the meaning of the message, but that's not the message. Here's what the problem is. She wasn't never supposed to be there to start with. Now, when we're introduced, this passage is about Jairus and his daughter. Am I right? And Jesus, he comes to Jesus, and he wants some help. And this woman interrupts what's going to happen in Jairus' life and his daughter's life. And what she really does, Brother Tony, is she interrupts life. Her issue interrupts life. Now, look at with me. Look at verse number 49. While he yet spake, who's he speaking to? Her. While he yet spake, there came one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. That's a command. They said, you don't need to bother him no more. In the book of Mark, chapter 5, verse 35, it says, while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said. And it says, thy daughter is dead, why troublest thou the master any further? One is a command, don't trouble the master. The second one is saying, why do you trouble the master? Because your daughter's dead. In fact, the Bible says here in Luke that there's one come. Mark says certain. It has the meaning of this. One is speaking, but probably a large amount of his household had come seeing what's taken so long. And listen to what I'm saying. The Bible says that girl was lying at the point of death. Am I right? She's lying there on her deathbed. She's laying dying. She lay dying. Is that right? You need an actual word. She lay dying. And Jairus hunts out Jesus that his daughter might be healed before she dies. Am I right? So when that woman interrupted with her issue, what happened? His daughter died. There ain't no way of dancing around with this. His daughter died. And the whole family's been wondering why he ain't come home. But now it's too late. In the eyes of man. Look at verse number 53. Jesus said, if you believe, you have faith, we'll go on. He goes on in there, has to put half of them out. Why? Because the Bible says in verse 53, and they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. There's two things that interruption caused. Number one, it caused that girl to die. Amen. And number two, it caused those people to doubt. because they knew he could heal her from sickness. But they'd never seen him raise anybody from the dead. And as far as their faith went, which is not very far, the ones sitting around mourning, they said, he can't do this. Now, we all know the end of the story, don't we? Does he do it? Sure he does. He goes in. In the other scripture, he calls her that young lady, that young girl. He says, arise, takes her up, gives her some meat, she's healed, and she gets to eat dinner. Amen. And mom and dad gets them back. And then he tells her they can't tell nobody. Can you imagine? Here's the problem, church. For 12 years, that woman had an issue. And Jesus was in town all the time. And this girl got sick, and she needed Jesus to come there to keep her from dying. But I tell you what our issues do. Our issues interrupt God from bringing people life. Our issues that we keep hanging on to and hanging on to and hanging on to are keeping other people from getting what they really need. Our issues are making people die and doubt. And here's the problem is, it's not that Jesus can't heal our issues. It's that we take it to him when nothing else has worked. When we spend all we've got and we tried everything else and things have gotten clean out of hand where everything we touch and everywhere we lay and everywhere we sit and everybody we know is messed up with our issues, and then we decide to take our issues to Jesus. Now the amazing part about it is Jesus will stop what he's doing and help us with our issues. But the sad part is a lot of times when God's dealing with our issues in the church and in our homes, there's other people dying. A lot of them are dying going to hell. Where if we'd take our issues the moment they come up and run to Jesus, we wouldn't have to interrupt him with what. You say, preacher, what do you mean? The Bible says this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation. Jesus Christ came to the world to save sinners, Paul said, of whom I am chief. You know what this passage teaches me? If I've got something going wrong, I need to hurry up and get it right so I don't interfere with what God's trying to do otherwise. Does that make sense to y'all? Now, the Lord nudged me the other morning, Tuesday morning, about 5 o'clock to get up and preach on this thing, study on this thing. Here's the problem is, a lot of us run around a bunch of issues. Amen right there. A lot of us run around a bunch of issues, and what we're doing, we're getting in the way of God doing what he needs to do. He really wants to save folk. Amen. He really wants to keep them from dying. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Remember, he did this before the cross. After the cross, he's not going to be raising people from the dead anymore. Because after the cross, there was purgatory. But paradise, thank you. There is no paradise anymore because he left the captive. The captive, he took captive. He let the captive free. Now, she died. When she died, her spirit just went down to paradise. He brought her up out of paradise. There is no paradise anymore. You die, you go two places now, heaven or hell. You listen to what I'm saying? I'm saying this, church. If you're here tonight, you got issues, you need to get them right now. Because all they're going to do is get worse. They're going to fester up. They're going to get worse. You're going to lose everything you got trying to make them better. And then let's just go ahead and face it. If you ever get any relief from it, you're going to have to take it to Jesus anyway. And whether you like it or not, you still at some point going to have to face him with him. Because you can't sneak up behind him. Because if you do, he'll stop, turn around, and make everybody see what you did. So here's what the thing is. When we all take our issues and go ahead and run the face of Jesus right off and get them all settled before they start getting inflamed and malignant and before they interrupt what he's really trying to do. I'm telling you right now, I've seen a lot of people get some things settled, and that's good. But a lot of times we've got just too many issues. See me right there. Come on, church. You know what I'm talking about. If we're saved, we've got too many issues. What we really need to do is run to Christ and say, God, I've got this problem. I need you to just help me with this thing. And quit pampering it and pitying it. And quit saying it's going to be all right. And I'll go to another doctor. I'll put another Band-Aid on it. I'll change the gauze out of it. It's going to work out. When truthfully, everything you're doing, everything you're touching, everywhere you're laying, everybody you're coming in contact, it's ruining their lives also. What we're doing is we're interrupting life with our issues. Does that make sense to y'all or not? We're interrupting life with our issues. If you've got something that's not right with God tonight, if you're not in the perfect will of God tonight, then you got issues. And you need to get them issues right. Because all they're going to do, somewhere, somehow, you're going to have to face God with. But in the meantime, it's going to interrupt what he's really wanting to do. Let's all stand by. I wonder if Yana's come play something softly tonight, whatever she wants to play. Tonight, if you're here and you're saved tonight, don't stop the saved person first. Tonight, if you're here and you're saved, and listen, if you got issues tonight that you need God to deal with, why don't you just come to him right now, face to face tonight, and say, God, I got that issue that's going to interrupt life. It's going to grieve the Holy Spirit. It's going to keep folks getting saved. It's going to blow up. It's going to get worse. I've already gotten mad. I'm already angry. I'm throwing rocks at everybody. Everybody I come in contact with, I'm dirtying up. Amen. Say amen right there. Everything I'm coming in contact with, I'm dirtying up. I need to get it right. You're here tonight and you say, preacher, I'd hate to let everybody know I have issues. God, listen, if you don't find, listen, they already know. Remember, everybody she touched, everybody she lay with, everybody she sit with, everything she went, unclean. There's no doubt. There's no doubt that our issues come out. The only way our issues don't show up is if we get them fixed real quick. Real quick. As soon as it happens. 12 years she wasted. You need tonight, listen, if you got some issues tonight, why don't you just come right now and go face to face with God. And say, fall on your knees before him and say, God, I need some help with these issues. You got to heal me from these issues. Because all I'm doing is making a mess of things. If you need to come tonight, why don't you come on? You might be here tonight and you don't have issues. What your problem is, you're laying down. You're not saved. You've never been born again. You don't know anything about Jesus. You don't have a personal relationship with him. Everything you've ever heard about, you never know. But somebody's probably praying for you. You probably got a dad like Jairus or a mom like, amen, like Samuel's mama. If not, you got a friend, you definitely got a church here praying for you. If that doesn't satisfy you, I'll pray for you tonight. You might be lying down. I tell you right now, when you're laying down, I don't want no issue in my life to keep you from getting saved. I'm going to say this right now. If you want to get saved, you can get saved tonight. You can get saved tonight. He's on his way right now. He's on his way right now. If you'll just hear his voice. You know when she got up? When he told her to. Maid, arise. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep know my voice. When he said arise, she knew he was talking to her, and she got up. By the way, when she got up, she got all the way from paradise up. What do you think about that? He said, maid, arise. And all the way from paradise, right up back up in that body, come up at one time. Whew. He literally reached down and picked her by the hand and picked her up right out of paradise. Brought her back into this world. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? You're here lost tonight. God reached on you right on the brink of hell and pick you up. Keep you from going there. Once you go there, he can't get you back out. But he can reach down tonight and pick you up. You're not saved tonight, you can get saved. Listen, if you got issues tonight, you might be in the way of somebody else getting right. you might be delaying and make people doubt that God's real. Hey, can you imagine that family? Hey, we heard of Jesus. He can heal the sick. Go get Jesus. They're waiting with that little girl. They're waiting with that little girl. They're waiting with that little girl. Jesus don't come. Jesus don't come. Jesus don't come. Where's Jesus? Where's Jairus? Well, he'd have been here sooner. But there's one with the issue. You just had to stop first and fix. In the meantime, little girl died. And the people died. Don't tell me our issues don't matter. Don't tell me our issues don't matter. They do matter. They do matter. They affect everybody around me. Everybody around me. Serious message for Wednesday night, I know it is. Or Thursday night, I know it is. I know it's a serious message. But it's important. Must have it among us. We've got one or two things probably not. Either got people here with issues or people here that's laying down. Most likely. Most likely one or two. Maybe both. Maybe both. Hey, mama. Hey, daddy. Hey, grandma, grandpa, brother, sister. You got any issues? You gonna keep your brothers and sisters, children, wife, husband. You gonna keep them from getting in? Are your issues what's holding everybody else back? Ask yourself. Ask yourself. It's important. It's important, brother Freeman. Brother Freeman, if you'll dismiss us.